Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
So I've been getting a lot of positive responses lately from people enjoying this pre-war businesses kind of theme that we've been doing lately. I think it has a lot to do with being able to see the world from a different perspective. And like I mentioned in the previous episode, it really highlights the world building, the different locations, the way that they considered in so many different ways, the way that the pre-war world worked and still is part of the wasteland and the remnants of that, and how many things that we can find reflect a world that is no longer there, but yet still continues to influence the wasteland 200 years later. We've got a lot to cover this week, so let's get into it. Why don't we head down Highway 95 in the Mojave and head back to New Vegas, and let's see what we find.
You gaze upon one of America's greatest minds, preserved through the miracles of science!
What is one of the things that you are most likely to expect to see while heading down a highway? Angry motorists? Sure. Roadkill? Potentially. What about gas stations? Yes, the most exciting things that you will ever see on the side of the highway, a gas station. And well, I'm joking about that a little bit, but in the wasteland, when you come across any location, it could be exciting. And if we're heading up Highway 95 from Novak, we will run across El Dorado Gas and Service. What remains here is basically the main building, the place that you would go in to pay for the gas or to pick up some snacks and some drinks and things. And then you have the overhanging, I don't even know what that's called, the shade that hangs over where you would drive up your car and fill up your car. And then there is a big sign in the front, a big round sign, but it doesn't say El Dorado on it. It says Poseidon Energy. And remember, every time we come across one of these pre-war locations, it's an opportunity to tell a story. And what we're seeing here is a reminder that Poseidon Energy was extremely important in the pre-war world. Poseidon Energy was a conglomerate. They had their hands in every different type of energy that was available. Some would call them a cartel. It's corporations like these that held so much sway over the United States government, driving policies and even wars for energy in order to maintain their profits. Tell me if that doesn't sound familiar today. And we can go into Poseidon Energy, but that starts with a P, and that is not the focus of this episode, but we will eventually get there. But let's talk about El Dorado Gas and Service, because they don't have a sign up that says El Dorado at the front. It's not the big sign, but it is noted on the map that this is El Dorado Gas and Service. So you can see here that they were also under the umbrella of Poseidon Energy, and that this was a chain of locations, most likely across the wasteland. What's left of this specific location is mostly a campfire. So there's some beds and some containers inside the location. And man, is it fun to go back to Fallout New Vegas and see how everything is basically the same color? You walk into this building and the floors, the walls, the countertops, everything is that grayish beige tone that it looks like, I don't know, the sun has melted away any semblance of color from the world. And there are hints that this used to be more than that. You can see a little bit of the blue and yellow in the Poseidon Energy sign, but you can also find remnants of, say, Sunset Sarsaparilla with a star cap on the register. But otherwise, the location is mostly empty, and I appreciate this about some of the older Fallout games. In fact, this is one of those details I notice after I play Fallout 76 for a long time, and then I even go back and play Fallout 4, let alone 3 or New Vegas, is how much emptier the world is, and it makes sense. A location like this can be seen from a distance. Anybody who happens to be walking by would stop in, if not just for shelter for a moment from the sun and the weather, and for the most part, the shelves are bare. There is nothing left here. And that makes sense. How are you going to expect to find anything when the next person who happens to wander by would just pick up anything of value? So it doesn't make sense that there's much here at all. And there isn't. Now, this location actually was featured in the Fallout New Vegas official game guide Collector's Edition Tour of the Mojave Wasteland. What a long name. And if we read the entry in that book, I mean, it's, you know, remember these game guides? They used to come, I guess you call them books. It specifically says on page 417, a rest stop along Highway 95. This is close to both Helios 1, which makes sense because Poseidon Energy, but I guess it makes sense that you would have gas stations along roads, and this one just happens to be close, and Boulder City. Outside, there's usually a prospector and a lit campfire with scattered bedding. Inside, the gas station offers a ruined series of shelves, mostly picked clean. Now, you can come across this prospector outside. He's got like a motorcycle helmet and kind of a hodgepodge of other clothing. And you can also come across some vipers, two gunslingers, and a leader hanging out near this location. Now, you might be asking, is this the only El Dorado gas in service? Well, it seems to be the only one we know about. It's the only one that shows up in the New Vegas map, and it doesn't show up in any of the other games. So I'm assuming it's a chain. Clearly, they're connected to Poseidon Energy, and it would make sense that these types of gas stations would be more than just one random location. How many times have you been to a gas station and it wasn't a chain of some series of gas stations, right? That's extremely rare. But we don't really know. We don't have any other evidence for that. So there you go. El Dorado Gas and Service. All right, for this next one, I'm going to have to do my best Spanish because the title is fully in Spanish. Now, warning, I am not bilingual. I'm really bad at language. You've heard me try to talk and speak English. I barely do that. I took French in school, so when everyone else was learning Spanish, I didn't even do that. But here, let's give it a shot. El periodizo? Periodicho? Diso. Probably diso, right? De las abueridas? Aburridas. Okay, well, there you got it. Most of the Spanish-speaking audience out there is now, I'm now dead to you. I'm so sorry. But what this translates to is the newspaper of the bored woman, because aburridas is the female version of the word, right? So, bored woman. And this is very interesting, because this only comes up one time in the lore, and it feels like it is mostly a joke, because it's the sort of thing that when you hear the character say it, if you understand what they're saying, you go, oh, that makes sense for the title of a newspaper targeted at women who just want to read like celebrity gossip and that sort of thing. Now, this shows up only one time in the entire series of games. It's during a conversation in New Vegas, in a conversation with Raul Tejada. And most of you will recognize that name, so I'm not going to go into the background there. But this is where this shows up. The conversation goes, you, as the courier, say, maybe there's a connection. Can you remember anything else about Robert House? This is, of course, during the events of New Vegas and you trying to understand what's going on with Mr. House and the strip and all of that. Raul says, I remember there was some weird stories about him, especially near the end. Now, Raul is a ghoul and has been around for 234 years, has lived in Mexico and the United States. He's a legendary gunslinger, and he's recounting something from the past. There was a tell-all in El Periodio, I'm going to mess it up again, in the name of the magazine, by a starlet house dated. She said they never, don't make me spell it out, boss. Anyway, they said all he wanted to do was scan her brain and make her dress up in different outfits. The courier then can say, that's sickening. And then Raul says, it was quite the scandal, at least in the Latin American tabloid journalism market. So what we know about this newspaper or magazine is that it was a tabloid. So it was most likely the kind of, I don't know, tabloid that you come across, say, in the checkout aisle of a grocery store or on a shelf at a place like El Dorado Gas and Service when you walk inside and you just kind of glance over to the side and you're like, oh, what is there to read today? This is that type of thing. And the fact that it's named after bored women, the newspaper of bored women, totally makes sense, because isn't that exactly who many of these publications are targeted at? And so it's just named, obviously, as a joke about the kind of publications that these are. basically just saying the quiet part out loud, that sort of thing. So there you go. There's really nothing else at all about this. We don't have a picture of it. We don't find a copy of this laying around somewhere, but it would be really cool, like so many of these things, to bring this back, this tiny little reference. So developers, if you work for Bethesda and you were working on Fallout 76 or Fallout 5, or maybe you're working alongside Bethesda because you are a hired house that is updating, I don't know, Fallout New Vegas for a new release because you're doing some sort of remaster version, maybe just drop one of these in El Dorado Gas and Service. Just leave it up on the shelf somewhere so we can just see a cover or something. That would be amazing. But it does make me wonder one thing. Is Raul secretly admitting that he liked to read these papers, these tabloids? This could just be the sort of thing where he's like, oh, yeah, I remember people referencing this. I've had people in my life who would have read these, or at least he maybe noticed the cover on the shelf somewhere. But then why would this be something that is just actively in his memory 200 years later? That doesn't really make sense. I feel like maybe he was actually somebody who read the tabloids, which completely changes his character. So just keep that in mind. And if you want that to be your headcanon, then just go for it.
Oh, I don't know anything, mister. I just think it. And then I don't.
So far in this series, we have covered a number of different gun manufacturers and ammo manufacturers. There's another one we haven't hit on yet called Enforcer. Now, this we clearly know is a company because we can find cans of BB gun ammo with Enforcer in the name. But it is a little difficult to read. The covers of these old items tend to be worn and kind of faded, but also this comes from Fallout 3 in New Vegas, and those textures are a lower quality, a lower resolution. And if you look at these little cans that you can find, and that's the only evidence we have for this company at all, at the top it says lead-free, which is pretty clear. The F is kind of missing, but you can read that. Then below that, the main fancy-looking font says Enforcer, and then another word. So is Enforcer the actual name of the company, or is it Enforcer something else? And because it's this odd kind of script and it also gets faded at the end, it looks like three or maybe four more letters after Enforcer, completely separate word, that might start with a B and then an L or something. It's hard to tell. So as far as I know, this company is called Enforcer something. And then below that, there's some little details. Performance grade, you can kind of make out. Lead warning on back, and then some other letters at the bottom. But again, they're hard to read. My guess is it's 500 count, is I think what that says at the very bottom. And you'll see these around. They're red and black, and they've got kind of a silver or grayish kind of band across them. And then on the bottom, the can is just, it's like a silverish color, as if only the top was colored for branding reasons. Now, we don't know anything else about this company. Was this a firearms company? Was this somebody who just made, I don't want to say not real ammo, because you can use a BB gun for real gun-like purposes in the right scenarios, but maybe they didn't do full ammo like you would find in most firearms. Maybe they were more of like a hobbyist company or something like that. But without any other examples anywhere else, we don't know. With a name like Enforcer, though, I have to assume that they did more than just BB gun ammo. I would assume that they were doing other types of ammunition at least, but we may never know. So this next one is a fun one. We've focused a lot on New Vegas on this episode so far, and this one also is in New Vegas. It's Evert's Building and Garden Supplies. Now, you might be wondering what's so fun about garden supplies, but there's more to it. Now, this is a sign you can find on a building, and it's near Miguel's Pawn Shop, if you remember where that is. Think the western blocks of Las Vegas. Now, this is interesting not because of an in-world thing. Most of what we know about this is what's left of a sign. Evert's building and garden supplies. And of course, it's got that fancy kind of font for Everts and the kind of Art Deco-y sort of shape to it. You know, like the rectangle in the background is just kind of skewed towards one of the corners that stretches out further. And then Building and Garden is a very normal looking, very plain font. But what's interesting about this is that it is a reference to Scott Everts. Now, Scott is one of the developers, and they kind of worked him into the game here. And you might recognize him because he worked at Interplay Entertainment and Black Isle Studios on Fallout and Fallout 2, where he was a technical designer and level designer. He also worked at Obsidian Entertainment on Fallout New Vegas as the lead world builder. So my sense of this is it's probably not something he added to the game. It's probably somebody else on the team who just used his name as kind of this fun reference. But lead world designer is extremely important. This is somebody who definitely had an influence on our experience of playing Fallout New Vegas. But that's not where it ends. He also was lead world builder on all of the Fallout New Vegas DLC and continued to work on other things with Obsidian. Neverwinter Nights 2, Alpha Protocol, if you remember that, didn't do so great. The Outer Worlds. Now, let's think about this for just a minute, because he was the lead world designer for Fallout New Vegas, which means that much of his design had to do with the way the world works and what makes up, say, I don't know, the outside world, buildings and nature, buildings and garden supplies. Makes sense for him being the designer of the world. So it's a fun little reference that most people will just walk past, see the sign on the side of the building, and not think anything about it. Oh, also, we know that this was one of Zap's neon signs as well, because it does show up there. And remember, there are the neon sign manufacturers in New Vegas that we've discovered on previous episodes. So next time you pass by Everts Building and Garden Supplies, think about Scott Everts. He was a huge influence on the game, and he's been immortalized in a sign on the side of a singular building. And this one doesn't even have a map marker. I feel like there's something universal about just being a human being in the 21st century and struggling with weight. I know it's something that I've had to deal with, and I go in and out of exercising more and having a better diet, and then I ruin it by eating more pizza and tacos and whatever else. And I know I'm not the only one who feels this way. And diet and exercise are great, but sometimes you need a little bit more. You can lose 20% more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise with Wegovy at Hims. It regulates your appetite so you eat less, and Wegovy is the first ever GLP-1 pill for weight loss, so there's no needles. You can get everything through Hims, so it all happens online. You'll be connected with a licensed provider who helps determine if this is the right treatment for you, and if you're prescribed, your medication is delivered directly to your front door. No insurance is necessary. There's a range of GLP-1 options, and they give you a lot of extra support with 24/7 messaging, team care, in-app lifestyle and nutrition support, recipes and meal plans. They're not just going to sell you the product. They're going to support you and make sure that you do what is right for you. So are you ready to reach your goals? Visit hims.com/falloutlore to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's hims.com/falloutlore. hims.com/falloutlore. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit hims.com. Man, we've got some weird ones this time. Okay, so we're about to talk about what I think is at least a piano brand, if not a music company, called, and this is the tricky part, Excellesse, let me spell it for you. E-X-C-E-L-L, right? Excel, that like excellence. Then E-S, what is probably an I-C-E. Now, here's the dilemma. This title only comes up on the front of grand pianos in Fallout 76. That's right. One location, no other instruments, no buildings, no other reference at all. Now, what's tricky about this is that the font and the way the artwork looks on the front of the grand piano appears to have an error in it. Here's where the error is. All of the letters look normal except for the I. So E-X-C-E-L-L-E-S, all of that's fine. Then you get to the I and it looks like the right half of the I shape was cut off, as if there was an editing error. Like the word was supposed to have more in it or was originally something and then got edited, but they didn't completely cut out the I. Maybe it's supposed to be XLS with the S-C-E at the end. That sounds a little bit weird. Maybe it's supposed to be something else and we're just seeing the left side of what appears to be an I font, but maybe there's more going on there because the left side of the E's look exactly like the left side of the I's. It's tricky. If you look at it, you'll get what I'm saying. So is the name of this brand Excelsize? That's a weird word. Is it a hodgepodge of, I don't know, excellence and something like solstice or something like that? I don't know. I can't tell. Now, I've done a little bit of digging and I'm by no means a expert on piano brands. If you were asking me about guitars and basses and drums and things like that, I could tell you a lot about that. Recording equipment, maybe even some of that stuff as well. But piano brands, I'm not really sure. I can't find anything out there that seems like an obvious reference or an obvious inspiration for this. Or, you know, sometimes in games like Fallout, they'll take two words that seem like they're common and merge them together into something new. It's nothing like that that I can find. So if you are more familiar with piano brands and what might be going on with this, let me know. And if you are a developer for Fallout 76 and you did the art on this, I would love to learn why it looks like one of the letters is just cut. It's a hard line when there are no other hard lines in the way the font looks, because it looks like it's as if it's raised. It's almost like the edges of the letters all have at least some sort of border, and then that I just seems to be cut off. So it looks like an error, but it's the kind of thing that most people will never notice. Man, we've got some weird ones this week. Okay, here's another weird one. This is a Fallout Tactics thing, so already it's kind of off canon. Tactics is one of those, like, is it canon? Is it not? In some circles would claim it is. This is a real world company. We just did a conversation with the patrons about real world companies we'd put into Fallout games, but this one did not come up. Falcon Northwest. Now, if you are a PC enthusiast, if you're somebody who has bought pre-made gaming PCs in the past, you might recognize Falcon Northwest because they are a custom or pre-made gaming PC company, and they've been around for a long time. I remember this brand from 20 years ago, and it tracks. It makes sense because Fallout Tactics is an older game. Now, where do they show up in Fallout Tactics? Well, it's tricky. There is one image that remains from the game and probably from the game marketing materials. Now, it's tricky. This image clearly exists because there is a reference to it in the Fallout Wiki, which shows the image. And the image is a close-up of the weapons that some what look like Brotherhood soldiers are using. These appear to be laser rifles. And in the background, there is a character, and it's all very, like, zoomed in and cut down. We can kind of see their hands and, like, lower torsos. And the character in the background is holding what appears to be a Falcon Northwest PC, a current day, regular looking Falcon Northwest PC, like the box, the desktop box. And at the bottom, it says Falcon Northwest. And this looks like it comes from marketing material. I have done a reverse image search. I cannot find any other references to this image online anywhere. So, unless you have a time machine and I can go back in time to when the game came out and I can look at maybe some of the marketing materials that I can't seem to find, maybe you can confirm that this is actually from marketing material or if this is actually in the game. I'm not really sure. The quality of the image appears to be higher than what is in the base game, so I would guess this is either a cinematic that's in the game somewhere that I don't know where it is. I mean, it's a kind of a minor thing. It's just a character in the background, so you may not even notice it playing through the game. Or it's from some sort of marketing thing. That's more likely it. It was part of a marketing image or a marketing video or something that was put out in order to promote the game in, unison with Falcon Northwest as the best PC you can get to play Fallout Tactics or something like that. But I don't have any memories of this marketing campaign, so maybe you do. If you do, comment, jump on the Discord, let me know your thoughts on this one, because this one's kind of baffling to me. Now, let's talk about Falcon Northwest. Is Falcon Northwest actually in the Fallout universe? Well, that's tricky. And again, there's not a whole lot of evidence here one way or the other. The wiki, I think, is wrong in claiming that one of the Reavers, during some dialogue in Fallout Tactics, happens to mention the company. And here's the line. By Falcon's Tower, we are lost. I don't think that's a reference to a PC gaming tower, because it doesn't make sense in the context. Why would you, I don't know, swear on Falcon's Tower during a difficult situation if it doesn't reference something else? But it's tricky, and I am by no means an expert on Fallout Tactics. I've played the mainline games, but this one eludes me. Based on some research here, there is Falcon Squad, which is a squad of the Brotherhood of Steel, so the use of the word Falcon would make sense in that regard, but there's no location that's specifically called Falcon's Tower. There's a tower at the beginning of the game, but it doesn't have that name. So is this just something one of the characters says, or just a personal name that the character came up with for a specific location or something like that? I don't really know. This one foiled me. I haven't been able to figure this one out. Usually I can figure some of this stuff out, but not this one. So if you happen to be a big Fallout Tactics fan, and I know there's probably only like 12 of you out there, let me know. Let me know what you think about this one.
I don't know who Dot was, but I'm sure Porter's food does her memory proud.
All right, the last one for this week shows up in Fallout 4 and Fallout 76. It goes by the name Fallons, F-A-L-L-O-N-S. Now, Fallons is a department store chain and does show up and is a important part of some of the background of what's going on in Fallout 4. Do you remember Eddie Winter? Do you remember that crime family and the headlines about Eddie Winter breaking into locations and stealing money and goods and those types of things? Yep, that was Fallon's department store. There's a whole story about his team, Eddie Winter's team, including Rodrigo Palomar, who was the safecracker, and they targeted the jewelry part of the store, and they stole some diamonds and things like that. It was a whole heist reported about in the newspapers. Now, what's interesting about Fallon's is that it is not just a pre-war business. This is a business that has survived. And you might be thinking, well, how is that possible? Department stores surviving into the wasteland? How are they getting their products? Who are they selling to? Like, how does this even work? Well, it turns out that Fallon's basement in Diamond City is an actual evolution and descendant. The individuals who run the business are descendants of the people who originally ran Fallon's department store 200 years previously. So they're still around. And there are many different locations across Massachusetts. You have the flagship store in West Roxbury. There's Fallon's General Atomics Galleria. There's Fallon's in Concord on Monsignor, if you pronounce that correctly, which I probably didn't, Plaza. And then another one in Faneuil Hall, which I probably also mispronounced. And department stores in our world today are not what they once were. We have to remember that our world has changed, even since the late 90s. There was a time in our world, not too long ago, where people would go to malls and hang out. And oftentimes, at a mall or a major downtown area, you would have a major department store, something like a Sears or a Dillard's or whatever, those types of stores. And they still exist in our world, but they don't serve the same need, I guess you could say. Most of us shop online for most of the things that in the past you would have gone to a department store in order to find. This was something, as somebody who's probably older than most of you, I remember doing a lot, walking around department stores while my mom shopped for things. I don't know if it was clothes or I don't know, a lawnmower. Basically, you could buy anything at a department store. And so this tracks. This makes sense for that pre-war world that was highly influenced by mid-20th century. Department stores would have been a major type of shop. In fact, for a while, they were dominant in retail sales. If you got a job as a salesperson at a department store, say in the 1940s or 1950s, it wasn't uncommon for you to be able to make enough money doing that to fund your entire family and 30, 40 years later, retire with pension. That's how successful, well, that's how different the world was back then, but it's also how successful these types of businesses were. So it makes sense that Eddie Winter would have targeted a location like this for a heist, because think about it, they don't just sell lawnmowers and t-shirts, they're selling jewelry, diamonds, lots of valuable things, electronics. Now, what's even more interesting about all of this is that the Fallon family didn't just stop with Fallout 4. Well, sort of. In Fallout 76, you can go to the Valley Galleria. We've talked about this location before. And there is cut content around this location that features Emma Fallon. Yes, same last name, descendant of the family that ran the department store. But she's not in the game. Now, it seems like the intent was to include this as some connective material between when the world fell apart and the department store probably went out of business because there was nobody left to buy all their things. And then 20 some years later, the events of Fallout 76 and one of their descendants working in Appalachia, and then the descendants in Fallout 4 and the basement location in Diamond City. So you kind of see this through line there. It totally works. And it's really cool when they add this stuff in. And I don't know why this was cut content. My guess is that they had so many other things they were adding into the game, especially with the Wastelanders edition, that added a bunch of different characters, or at least references to people. Maybe she was just somebody who was going to be referenced in a terminal or something like that. But as with everything in game design, you have to learn what content to include and what content to cut. So maybe she'll come back in a future update and we'll get to learn more about this Fallon family and what's actually going on here. So there you go, Fallons.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
As usual, thank you for tuning in again. I'm so glad that you're still hanging out with me talking about Fallout stuff. Thank you so much. And also thank you to our patrons, patreon.com/falloutlorecast. If you'd like to get ad-free episodes or join us for patron chats and some other stuff, go check it out. You can be one of our new members and I'll shout you out on a new episode whenever I see you sign up. Also, thank you to our sentry bots, Germinator, Nova, the Main Monkey, and Ira Moody. Thank you so much for your support. And to all 91 of our current supporters and all of our free patrons. You can sign up for free just to get notifications if something else is changing or whatever's going on. Thank you so much. Also, if you'd like to help out, share the show with a friend. If you love Fallout, if you're playing with Fallout 76 and a bunch of other people, and you guys are looking for stuff to listen to in the background while you play, this show is perfect for that, and I would really, really appreciate it. Also, drop a review on Apple Podcasts. I'll read it out on a future episode of the show. All right, there you go. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, and if you've learned some things about some of this stuff, which was mostly a mystery to me this week, let me know. Help me fill in the blanks. Maybe we can figure it out together. All right, I'll see you next time. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Now they're all set up. How do we power them?